Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is the day we were all looking forward to. This is equivalent to our Super Bowl, our World Series, and the Oscars combined.
Whoa, don't put the Oscars in there.
This is the big event for the iPhone, and wow, it was pretty incredible. Anyway, before we get into that, let us introduce ourselves. I am Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I will add that I'm pretty excited for the iPhone 5S. It looks really good. At least the silver one looks good. I'm still not fond of the gold one, but it's not annoying me as it did before.
I'm mostly excited for iOS 7.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much excited for that because that's something that is more of an immediate gratification.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did stop by the AT&T store today, mostly to say hi to a friend, but I did find out that my wife is eligible for an upgrade. So probably this weekend I'm going to find out if she wants an iPhone 5.
Yeah.
And I'll take her upgrade.
There you go. Anyway, before we get into the whole thing, here's a little clip about what all this tech is all about.
When I'm watching a commercial for a new tech device, I'm looking for an ad that's fun.
That's cool.
That's edited way too fast.
Fast.
With a lot of lines repeated a bunch, just like that.
Like that.
And starring young professionals with creative jobs.
Jobs you're not even sure exist.
I'm a wicker weaver.
I'm looking for a commercial that uses words like now.
Emotion.
Global.
Spoken totally out of context.
Or in unison while laughing.
Fast.
I want an ad with diversity. Because it doesn't matter if you're a guy.
Or a girl.
White. Or black. I want to see lots of small businessmen and women, like architects.
Gardeners.
Bakers.
Bakers.
A whole lot of bakers.
Or at least someone holding a baguette, like me.
I'm looking for a commercial set to an indie rock song, one that uses a lot of accordion.
Or glockenspiel.
Or this instrument.
Most of all, I'm just looking for a good product. Shop. No, one with kids. Cute kids, though.
Hey, guys, can you see me? Hi, I miss you.
And a soldier.
Hey, Bubba.
You know, emotional shit.
His daddy.
That's what'll get me to buy a smartphone.
Or a wearable computer.
Or a website that finally puts me in the driver's seat.
Whatever that means.
One more baker.
And a logo without text.
That pretty much summed it up, right?
Where the heck did you get that from?
That is from College Humor. They did every tech commercial ever made is essentially that. I thought that would be a good way to start the show.
Yeah, that sums it up.
But in all seriousness, today's announcement was pretty cool. And then it also had its disappointments, and it left me baffled in a few things. So let's start with the overall keynote. Basically, they announced the iPhone 5S, which we all saw coming, and the iPhone 5C, which we all saw coming. But from last week's episode, and I listened to it today just to see how close we were, and I got to say we were pretty close on a few things, but the one thing that I was absolutely wrong about was that the iPhone 5C would be replacing the free version. And that is incorrect. It's, in fact, replacing the iPhone 5. What do you guys think about that, just to start things off?
That kind of threw me for a loop, but when it comes right down to it, the iPhone 5 and the 5S from like an appearance perspective, they're pretty much indistinguishable.
Yeah.
So, the 5C, looks drastically different with the different color, the different colors it's available in, and spec wise, it's, pretty much the same thing as an iPhone 5, if not a little bit better.
It is a little bit better. Just by a little bit though. Like, it has a few faster tidbits, few better points of LTE connection, I guess. Things like that.
With the iPhone 5C pretty much doing everything except for form factor that the 5 did, I can see why they did that. Plus, I think they want people to either upgrade to the 5C or the 5S, or else stick with the 4S, which is actually going to be the free one.
See, that's the part that baffled me. Why on earth, you know, having the 5C coming out, why on earth would you have the 4S be the free one?
It was the same thing when they went from the iPad 2 to the iPad. They pretty much took iPad 2 right off the shelves.
Okay. Here's my big gripe, though. When the iPhone 4 became the free model, right?
Yeah.
There were three versions of the iPhone 4. There was the 8 gig, 16 gig, and 32 gig, right?
Not in free.
No. Just the iPhone 4, back in the day when it was the hot and mighty beast.
Oh, yeah.
And then the iPhone 4S came out, and that was 16 gig. That was the first time it was 16, 32, and 64, right? If I recall correctly.
No, that's correct.
And now, with the iPhone 4S coming out as the free model, it's now an 8 gig model.
Yeah. Never before.
I mean, I think that is the dumbest move that they could make. It is absolutely just stupid. That's the only thing that – I mean, it's not like I'm going to get this.
Stupid for who?
Stupid for Apple, for their user base. It's a slap in the face. It is a total slap in the face. And here's why. Now, iPhone 4 had certain guts that allowed it, you know, it was made for the 8 gig model, right?
Right.
The iPhone 4S has a better camera, better.
You need more space.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take up more space. And plus, you know, if that's somebody's new iPhone, they're going to have the option to have iMovie, iPhoto for free, which we'll get into that in a second. And all of those apps take a ton of space. They take more space than the average app does.
Yeah, iMovie is huge.
Yeah. And to do a movie on that thing, you're going to fill up that phone extremely fast. You're not going to have any room for any of third-party apps.
The eight gigabyte in reality is like a 6.3.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that's like on the 4S. It may even be like a 5 gigabyte storage space that you're working off with all the iOS 7 on there.
Right.
So you're handicapped even lower than just 8 gigabytes.
Exactly. So my opinion is that it's going to be a bad experience for anybody who's new and wanted the free version just to get their feet wet in iOS, and it's going to leave a bad taste in their mouth potentially, and let them veer off into the dark side to Android.
No, it's,
or worse,
it's just going to teach. It's just going to teach them a lesson.
Well, that's not something that they can afford to do. I mean, why on earth would you want to punish somebody for getting something when they could be making a boatload of money on apps and stuff? And anyway, that's just my take. Matt, what do you think?
I actually really don't know what we're talking about.
I'm sorry. Wow. I must have gone on to a tirade here. The iPhone 4S is going to be the free model.
Yeah.
And it's not going to start off as a 16 gig model, starting off as the 8 gig model, and only
and
the
no,
8 gig model.
No other upgrades from that.
For free, though?
Yeah.
For free.
Well, on contract.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What do you expect for free?
Well, that's what I was saying.
It's not – I mean, oh, yeah. You're getting it for free, but you're committing it to a two-year contract, which means that you're still
– It's not really free, but it's you're not paying out of pocket right away.
Right. You're just going to pay for it in misery and tears.
I think we figured that the 4S was going to become the free version. They were going to drop the 4 I didn't see them dropping the 5.
I didn't see. I honestly thought it was going to be the 5C as the free version, the iPhone 5 as the middle ground, and the iPhone 5S as the king of the hill.
Right.
See, I just think that you thought that because you didn't really know the specs on the 5C.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
That's exactly it. I mean, once the specs started to roll out, and it was just another version of the 5, a better version of the 5, better, it was like,
yeah.
Wow, that's how are they going to make that the free version? And the 5C comes in two flavors. It's basically the 16 gig and 32 gig, starting at $99 and $199 for the 32 gig. And, of course, the multitude of colors that you can throw in there.
So no 64 gig for the 5C. Yeah. So, okay. Let's start with iOS 7 first.
Well, let's do that second, since we kind of went into this first.
Well, we didn't do everything of the 5C. I thought, you know, we could talk about what the different things that are going to apply to both phones, and then get into the meat of each phone.
All right, go for it. Lead the way.
All right, so iOS 7 is going to be coming out on September 18th, and so that's what, 8 days from the keynote.
And it 2 days before the iPhone actually comes out.
Right. There are going to be some free applications that they're going to be adding that you used to pay for and it's going to come only on the new devices that you buy. It's not going to be free for everyone. So my 4S is not going to have those free applications.
And those free apps are iPhoto, iMovie, Keynote, Numbers, and Pages. Those are the five apps that they are now just giving away for free. They used to be $9.99. on iOS. I believe it was $9.99 or $4.99, something like that. I can't remember.
I needed Keynote and just bought it. literally like 2 weeks or a week.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get it with your 5. It would if you had gone out like on the day that the 5C or the 5S came out, then you would get it free. So it would come with those devices, and iOS 7 will be compatible with iPhone 4, 4S, 5, 5C, and 5S, and then fifth generation iPod Touch,
and then iPad stuff.
The iPad stuff, yeah. So there were some other iOS 7. Let's see, where'd you go? Oh, where'd you go? There's things that are going to be on iOS 7 that won't be allowed for 4S and lower, but there will be others. So I think since I have the 4S, the one I'm excited about is, actually it doesn't. It's not going to be an upgrade for panoramic, right, for the 4S?
No.
Just for the 5.
Well, let's just leave it at, how about this, to speed things along. There are some features in iOS 7 that's going to be on some phones, but not others.
Yep.
And when we break it down, we'll mention that as we go.
Yeah.
So that's important to know. So, all right, let's go back to the 5C. Overall impressions first. Let's go around the bed. Joe, you go first.
I think it's pretty cool. I don't think I will get one, but it is an impressive camera for anybody. My inclinations is that when I upgrade, I'm going to go to the 5S.
Yeah.
I don't care about colors because I'm going to have my phone in a case, but even still, it's got some really neat features like the camera and so that. I think it's a really good camera. I don't think they skimped out on anything.
Right. Matt, what do you think?
About the 5C?
Yeah.
I think it's a nice looking phone. One of the things that I like, and this is really more to do with the iOS than the phone, but kind of like the way that the screen sort of mirrors the color of the phone.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. Trying to see what else I like it about it. I mean, I guess I kind of like, I don't know. It's got a little bit better tech than the 5, so it's definitely an upgrade. The only thing that I guess I'd be worried about is how I know it's a hardened polycarbonate, which is a pretty durable plastic, but I don't know, for some reason I just always think plastic things are going to break.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that it's one of those things that happened on my iPhone 3. The back of it did crack, but it still worked. It was fine. I don't know. It looks pretty sharp. To me, this feels more like an iPod. It just has that iPod feel to it. Not that it's a bad thing. I mean, I like the iPods. I never needed one, but they were always cool.
Terrible cameras, but, you know.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I'd have to kind of try it out and see. I definitely want to actually hold one of these, because on the surface, you know, plastic does give off that kind of chintzy impression, even though this thing looks fantastic. But you know, I'll have to see it, but it's kind of irrelevant because I'm not going to be getting this either. But for all intents and purposes, this is an iPhone 5. All dressed up and basically ready for new stuff. The big thing to consider, though, if you're looking at upgrading to an iPhone 5C, which is all well and good, if you're looking at getting this and iPhone accessories, like the Olo clip and stuff, you're going to have to wait a little bit. Because this is going to require a whole new set of accessories. I imagine the diff case it'll require a new size. Just new sizes all around.
Yeah. And you can start pre-ordering it on September 13th. So.
Oh, that's something I'm definitely doing.
Yeah.
For the 5S though.
Well, that comes out on the 20th. Pre-orders for the 5S is on the 20th.
No, you can start pre-ordering everything this Friday, can't you?
I don't know. I think they just specifically said the 5C.
Is on the 13th.
Yeah. Really? Oh. Yep.
And then order 5S starting on September 20th.
And that's when it's appearing in stores too, right?
Good question. I don't know.
Huh.
I didn't think about the accessories having to remanufacture for the 5C. That's going to be, that would definitely be a disclaimer for, wanting to either upgrade or, move to it. But do you think any other variations, in the future, having like a 6C when it comes out, do you think they'll change the,
I have no idea. Format? Apple just changed the game again.
Yeah,
they just basically did something completely out of left field. So
I think the 6C is going to be in the shape of a triangle.
Oh, what was that from?
The Office.
Yes, that's awesome.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dang it!
It was a tablet. It was a triangle.
It was
tablet.
A tablet, but it was a triangle tablet. That's right.
I don't even watch that show.
Only reason why I know is because my wife watched it and they were talking about it. And I was like, that's stupid. But it was
I think that was the point. I don't know why they just hold a HP slate. They would have done the same thing. Zing.
All right, Mark. Let's
get to the big one.
The 5S, because I know You're going to be the first one to get one.
Well, from this group, yeah.
Yeah, unless I convince my wife.
Oh, that's right.
Five.
That's dude. Right.
All right. Here's the thing. Let's just say this right now. If you're able to get the five, would you be able to come down and we'd be able to wait in line together?
Well, no, because I have a job.
Ah. Rub it in. I didn't know if you could take the day off or something.
No, I just had 2 weeks off for a baby.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I forgot about that part. Oh, well.
So yeah, and you wouldn't want to wait with me because I usually wait 2 years to get mine.
Yeah, I don't want to wait that long. All right, so it's just going to be me waiting in line.
I would if I could. It would be
no fun. Worries. All right, so superficial stuff. This iPhone is coming out in three different flavors. It is coming in gold, silver, and space gray, which is just another fancy word of saying gray.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the gold?
I think it looks really nice. I don't think it's something that I would get because it's, I don't know, I guess it's kind of a little like blingy,
yeah.
For lack of a better word, but it's very tasteful. It really is. It's not like over the top, like, you know, gold, like, I don't know. It's kind of subtle.
It's not bad.
It's just different. I think it looks really nice.
Yeah. I believe my exact words from last week were douchebag Kardashian gold. Yes. Which I have to say it is not. It actually looks rather nice. But I'm in the same camp. I don't think this phone would be for me. I think I'm going to go for silver or gray, whichever is available, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Silver would be my ideal choice. So that's me.
My whole philosophy on color is it's not going to matter because I'll have it in a case.
Yeah.
So I would have either silver or gray also. I don't really think, you know, unless there wasn't any available. Like when I got my work phone and it's a 4, the lady at the office is like, well, the only thing we have in the 4 is the white. And I said, I don't care. As long as it works, I'll take it.
Oh, God. So. If there's none available, then, yeah, I probably would have to go gold. I don't think I'm going to have that problem, though.
No.
Although I would immediately buy a case.
Yeah.
So all right. It's rather nice. That's all superficial stuff. It still looks great. Great engineering behind it. I think no one's disappointed in the outside. Now, the inside, it has a whole lot of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Since this is an iPhone photography show, let us get right into the meat of it. The camera. Still 8 megapixels, but the megapixels are so much better. These are 50% bigger sensor size.
No, 15.
15%. Yeah, that's what I said. What did I say?
I thought you said 50.
Oh, I'm sorry. 15%. Yeah, sorry. Mush mouth there. 15% bigger sensor, which means those 8 megapixels are going to be bigger megapixels rather than the standard ones. Well, no. I mean, the megapixels are bigger. I mean, am I saying that wrong?
No. The way you said it just made it sound like, you know, instead of being more megapixels, that the megapixels themselves would be bigger.
They're greater. Like, really? Each pixel is 1.5 whatever the unit that is. It's
0.15 bigger.
It's a 1.5. What is that little crazy U thing?
That's the first. I've never seen that before. That's the first time I ever heard of it.
All right, so you're making fun of me? Yeah. All right, so the point is the pixels are better quality, which means better intake of light, which means less noise, better detail. It's just all around a better experience. It's
our argument has always been, you know, it's not more megapixels, it's the quality of the sensor that we want.
And that's essentially what the keynote said. They made reference to that, saying that any other camera company, Android, would mention that they have a lot more megapixels they're cramming in, and the pixel sizes themselves would be smaller. So this is a good move on Apple's part, I think, as far as photography goes. And then when it comes to aperture size, it's not the 2.0 that we all expected. It's actually 2.2 the aperture setting there.
It's still better than the 2.4.
Yeah, it's much better. And so that's still pretty impressive. How it will look, you know, once we get a chance to play with it is another story. But from the pictures that they provided, it's actually looking pretty damn good. You have the sapphire crystal cover on the lens, all good. The next thing that's pretty interesting, and I kind of dismissed in the last week's podcast, is the flash. There was talk about there being two flashes set on this, which baffled me, but now we know why. It's it is a True Tone flash, which means one of the flashes is a cool tone, one of them is a warm tone, and basically it's the software inside is going to auto detect the white balance of the room and will apply the flash accordingly. So it's able to change the intensity of each of the flashes to adjust to the conditions of the environment.
So when you take a picture in tungsten light, you're not going to have a bluish glow about the person because the color temperature from the flash was a whole lot colder than what was in the room.
Right.
It's going to adjust for that tungsten light to try to mimic the same color temperature so that you get a much better image.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about that if you use the flash? So what do you guys think? Are you guys going to start incorporating the flash more into the camera? And by more, I mean, are we actually going to start using it?
I know I probably would, you know, now that I have a baby to take pictures of, and, you know, I seem to be holding him a lot at night or whatever when it's dark, and I want to take pictures, but I don't because I know they're going to look really lousy.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that having a flash that's, you know, going to look a little bit better is definitely going to be something that is appealing to me right now.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. I think I'm going to use this a lot more. I mean, wedding receptions when I'm doing wedding photography, this is something I'm going to use a lot. Just to take some, you know, fun pictures with people. I think this is great. I think that's a great step in the right direction. I hope it works well. I mean, from what they've shown, it works tremendous. But then again, they're not going to show it screwing up either.
And you know, whether or not I'll use it, I really don't. I use it very seldomly, but I think it is a great. It's a lot better than I would have thought.
Yeah.
For having a flash on a camera, because I kept thinking of, you know, getting gels or something like that. But with the flash being so close to the camera, it looks like there's more space, which is perfect. With the, you know, the 4S and older, the flash was always real close, that even if you tried to put a gel or something else, you'd get the reflection of the flash coming back into the camera and screwing up the image. So I think moving the flash and then allowing for color temperature changes, I think is a really good is way to think outside the box.
Now, the one thing – funny you mentioned that, because the one thing that I'm curious about is in the photo for the close-up on the camera and the flash, there's this little dot, and it looks like a microphone opening. Is that what it is?
I think so.
So cover, if you have, like, one of those devices that, like say
– like an Olo clip?
Like an Olo clip, like one of those lens attachments where you have to put that, you know, that metal ring around your flash just to get the magnetic lens to stay on. I think that's going to hamper things, but I mean,
no, because no? I would use the rig that I have to separate the headphone and the microphone and use an external mic if I was serious about doing video. I wouldn't use the built-in microphone.
Okay, but so, it's important to note that there's a microphone
yes,
there.
Yes, if the mic, yeah, people need to know that the mic, because especially if they're trying to get something and they've got an external lens on there. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But if I was serious about, you know, doing it, I wouldn't use the microphone. It's better that the microphone is there than where they've had it before. Because, you know, the microphone was never really facing your subject. It was always facing away from your subject. So the audio quality was terrible.
Yeah.
With it pointing at your subject, it is much better. It's in a much better place than previous models.
Right. Let's see. What else do we got here? Burst mode. What do you guys think of this burst mode?
Another feature that I'll use with the baby.
Very good.
That is a better feature for when you have kids.
Yeah.
Because I'm always, you know, trying to press it as fast as I can to at least catch something, because my daughter will bounce around like she's got ants in her pants.
Oh, tell me about it.
Hold still. So I'm constantly doing multiple images. Burst mode, if it's just one shot and then it takes 10 images – I think that's a good option to have.
Okay. Here's something that I'm looking forward to. I don't know how it will be in practice, but auto image stabilization. What do you guys think?
That's pretty cool also.
I really hope this thing works. I mean, they gave the example of a picture that was slightly blurry, and then they showed another one which was like perfect. And I don't know. Their examples seem to be very controlled. Like,
oh, always.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's a demo. They're going to make their stuff shine. But I hope this works in practice. And their explanation is that the iPhone takes a bunch of photos and merges the best parts together. I hope it does that pretty effectively.
Is that supposed to be like a Lytro-esque type without, you know, picking your focus, but it's almost like taking the image and finding the stabilized areas and then melding it together?
I don't even know. I couldn't even give you a comparison. I'm just going by how I understood it in the keynote. It's interesting. It's cool. I hope it works well, especially with my kids. I don't know. We'll see. But that's a pretty great feature. And excuse me. I'm not feeling well today. The other big thing that
huge that
I was looking forward to a lot was the slow motion video. So essentially, the iPhone will take normal video at 30 frames per second at 1080p. Yep. If you want to do slow motion video, it is 720 and 720p at 120 frames per second. And in true Guy Ritchie fashion, you will be able to select what areas of the video you want in slow motion, and it will do it seamlessly. I can't wait for that.
That's pretty cool. That's something that is definitely going to intrigue me to start playing around with video more.
Yeah, same here.
I really thought that it wasn't going to happen, but I'm very glad that it did, because I think really there was only a few other devices that were reasonably priced that could do it. Having it in your pocket to be able to pull it out and do that type of thing, absolutely. I'd be playing with it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be playing with that. It's my iPhone will perpetually be at 120 frames per second. Which leads me to believe I'm going to have to buy the either 32 or 64 gig model. And so, let's see, square format, whatever, filters, whatever, live video zoom. The only thing that intrigues me is the photo that they have on apple.com. It's this blonde girl doing something. I don't know what she's doing, but she's very, very, very happy about it.
Wait, where is it?
Yeah, I'll send you the link in a second here.
Okay.
All right. I'm Skype chatting it right now. It's one of those photos I just can't take my eyes away from.
And this is the...
This is under iPhone 5 and features on Apple.com. So if you want to check it out, check it out. But, man, that girl looks happy. I mean, she's just ridiculously happy.
She probably got an iPhone 5S.
Probably. Most of her is off camera. I wonder what that most of her is doing off camera. You guys get to that part yet?
No, it's still trying to load. Keep going.
I got nothing else after that. But anyway, live video zoom. You could do 3x zoom, and it's supposed to look great. Sure, that's fine. I won't use that. I never zoom with my devices. So I just don't like losing the pixel quality. Another big feature that I'm looking forward to is their improved panorama photos. This in-app panoramic. Oh my God, I'm just going to twist myself all over the place. It's basically going to autofocus as you go, which is something I thought that the other iPhones were able to do that, but I guess it didn't.
No.
I always had great success with the iPhone panoramic app.
Well, and the other thing was is that you really never really had to autofocus once you change focus once you started, unless you're trying to do a panoramic of something close, maybe, and then go to far.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
It's basically maybe not the focus, but it's the exposure compensates when you start panning. So for example, if you're taking a picture of like a mountain setting and it's sunny on your right side and you start with the left, as you move, the exposure will compensate for the image getting brighter and it will make the adjustments and you'll have a perfectly exposed panoramic instead of one side being nice and the other side being blown out.
Hmm.
Yeah, not bad. Now, the big question is, this will be available for the panorama function on the camera, but will Apple allow other people to use these features? Like any
4S.
No. The 4S it won't be available for. This is only iPhone 5S, and probably the iPhone 5.
Well, what do you mean by letting other people use it?
Being able to tap into that feature. Like, say, what's another panoramic app?
Probably not.
Yeah. That'd be helpful. So anyway, that's what we have coming for the panoramic, which is pretty cool. Were you guys able to see that image?
Yeah, I think so.
I have no idea which one you were talking about.
It's the live video zoom. But that's just, I mean, didn't video already have a zoom option?
Yes, but not with a woman this happy about it.
Oh, jeez. I was expecting something revelation.
No revelation. Dude, I can't take my face off that picture. It's one of those that just, I don't know. It's just me. It's just a weird photo. And they're using it everywhere on their site.
Well, it's a weird photo because you can't really tell what she's doing.
Exactly. And I'm curious. What is she holding on to?
Is she throwing something?
Yeah, she's playing like cornhole or something.
Oh, okay.
What's cornhole? That sounds...
Oh, dude. It's huge in the South. It's like horseshoes, but with beanbags.
Huh.
And you have a board, and there's a hole in it on either side, and you throw them like, horseshoes.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, Mark, if you were playing that game, you would have a big, giant smile on your face, too.
Okay. Noted.
My wife just thinks it's a weird name for a game.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely dirty.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. So those are the camera features. I mean, overall, as far as the photography aspect of things, I don't think they've disappointed. They got the biggest feature that we wanted, and that's a better sensor, better quality glass, better quality. Well, it's not better glass, but it's a better aperture, better, you know, it's better on noise, better on the what's it called? The shake part, the blur.
Stabilization.
Stabilization. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God.
The video, you know.
The video is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So I say this is a huge win for the iPhone 5S.
Absolutely. I mean,
so I can't wait to get this.
And then there's that other feature of the 5S that none of the other ones will have. And that I think wowed a lot of the iPhone haters out there. I was watching GeekBeak, actually listening to the audio of GeekBeak while the keynote was going, and I was catching the CNET live blog, and John Pose on GeekBeak was giving Apple a hard time about it until. It got to the 120 frames per second video and the fingerprint, the finger sensor on the phone for security. He said he gave Apple huge props on that.
Okay, let's get into that real quick, the fingerprint scanner. Now, last week it was kind of a meh thing for me. I wasn't impressed with it. And as far as security goes, I'm still indifferent towards it. But what I do like about this fingerprint scanner is that it will allow you to authenticate your Apple app purchases, which I think is incredible. I think that's awesome. Yep. So that's a huge win for me. I didn't even think about that. Instead of typing in a password, having to go to shift, this letter is capitalized, and typing everything else. And don't forget the numbers and the obscure punctuations that I used as well, all that jazz. Now I just have, was just a thumbprint now.
Yeah, and Matt was the first one on this show to mention it, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so well done, Matt. You yourself saw this coming, and no one else
on this show.
No, Mark is accurate. Nobody is.
There are other shows?
Nobody else, nope. Except for the person that told me about it knew.
Yes.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. And some lesser things to discuss is the 64-bit processor. I don't think that's going to have any effect on what we're doing. I think that's more graphics driven. I think that's more for games, for other stuff. I don't know how it would be incorporated into photography. Maybe video side, but
I was going to say you wouldn't think that maybe Camera Plus with the video option, maybe adding their own 120 frames per second with their app. I could see that being a possibility. Any other, photography app that wanted to incorporate high end features like you'd get in Photoshop or something like that, they may try to get in on the 64-bit processing.
It's possible. I don't know enough to talk about the ramifications, but
right.
As far as significance go, this is the first phone, is the first smartphone to incorporate 64 bits.
You're right.
So, I mean, we'll see how that pans out. I hope it just means everything will run a lot faster. They said Siri will be smarter. I call bullshit. I don't believe in Siri at all. In fact, my wife was coming home and she calls me. She's like, I tried calling you like 7 times and Siri just did not acknowledge me. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of know why. So she's been getting a lot of crap with Siri. Siri is just a hunk of junk. I think it's a waste of space, and that's all there is to it. Prove me wrong, Apple. Prove me wrong. What else? What else do we got? Something. Okay. The free stuff that we discussed earlier. So yeah. Anybody who's buying a new iOS device, whether it's a new phone or a new iPad, as long as it's new and it's iOS, you will have the option to get iMovie, iPhoto, Pages, Keynote, and Numbers. Now, of these apps, the only ones I remotely use is Pages, and sometimes I use iMovie on my iOS device. I do use them extensively on my Mac, but I don't use them so much on the iOS device. So to me, even though I already bought them,
it's too bad they didn't make GarageBand one of them.
You know what? I'm actually surprised that GarageBand isn't one of them. That's a very good point. Why do you think that is?
They probably won't. No, I don't know. I really don't know.
Matt, you must know the reason why. So we'll put you on the spot.
I find that app to be one of the most frustrating things on the planet.
Amen to that. I bought it just in case I could do a podcast from a distance, and I could pretend I'm somewhat playing the drums. My daughter likes that one. And then she gets frustrated herself and then gets out of the app intuitively and opens up Netflix and watches Caillou. I hate that cartoon, but that's another story. A whole other podcast. But I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. iPhoto is, I can't say I like iPhoto either. I don't like iPhoto, but I guess
I never got iPhoto.
Maybe the common person will like it. Who knows? iMovie's not bad though. I've done some fun stuff with iMovie.
I wish iMovie would allow you to, add off camera, audio to it. That's the only thing I wish iMovie would do. Listen, Apple, that's what I want on there.
Yeah. The only person that's listening is the NSA. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they'll pass the message along.
Yeah, right. Maybe. All right. So my big question, and I'm going to put the tinfoil hat on. What do you think this means? If they're giving this away on iOS, do you guys think that they will also do the same with Mavericks, the computer operating system?
I really don't know because I don't use Apple laptops, so I couldn't really say if I would use it or not.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to guess yes.
That would be actually pretty cool because I think of these apps, I think they're more useful on a computing device rather than a portable device.
So they don't normally do that?
This is the first they've done it.
Huh. So I always thought that with an Apple laptop, you would get video editing software and all that.
Okay, you know what? Actually, Joe, you're absolutely right. If you just bought a Mac today, if you say a MacBook Air, you will have GarageBand, you will have iMovie, and you will have iPhoto. What you won't have is Pages, Numbers, and Keynote. So I'm wondering if they will offer that. And the other thing to note is that if you have an older version of the iLife stuff, like iPhoto and GarageBand and all of them, you still had to buy an upgrade. Like they would have the upgraded version. I think they only had that only a few times. I think it's what iLife 11 was the latest one.
Yeah, that's what it is right now.
Yeah.
Like, I actually just upgraded Keynote to the newest version because I had the 09 version.
Right.
And I recently needed to use Keynote for something for work, and I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to have any issues with it, so I decided to upgrade to the latest version. And then I also have or bought Keynote and put it on my phone mostly as a backup for the presentation. So I was able to save the presentation to the cloud, and then it was just automatically something I could access on my phone.
Brilliant.
You know, I could make changes to it on my phone. The app itself is actually not that bad to use on a mobile device, although I wouldn't create an entire presentation from scratch on an iPhone.
Yeah.
But I thought the whole thing was pretty cool. But you know, if they're going to give these away for free, there are certainly useful applications. Especially, you know, if you work in a kind of office environment and you have to use like Word and PowerPoint or something like that on a regular basis, the pages can save, you know, documents as a Word document.
Yep. And
Keynote can save your presentations as a PowerPoint. So they're super useful apps. So, you know, that is pretty cool that they're making this stuff available for free.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, the rumor is that October we'll see the presentation for the iPad and the new Mac Pro. So, you know, we'll see if they announce that for free over there. And then finally, I think the last thing I wanted to mention before we wrap things up is a feature that Joe and I were mentioning off air is AirDrop.
Yeah.
Now, what this will do is essentially, how do I describe this without
marks? It's like using Bump.
Yeah, without bumping.
If you ever use Bump, you have to take two devices and kind of like put them in both hands and then bump them together, which is kind of annoying because one will pick it up and the other one won't. So, you know, it's one way of being able to send a signal over Wi-Fi to say, hey, this app is working in conjunction with another one. And whereas you don't need a setup, you can search for somebody within your Wi-Fi area or even using Bluetooth.
Yeah, it'll automatically use Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Right. No setup is required, which is great.
Yes.
Transfers are encrypted, so only the NSA will be able to find that.
And and the difference, I'm hoping that...
Is the NSA joke getting old, by the way? I think it's getting old. I will retire it, so...
Okay. Yeah, one thing about, you know, I wish it was available for the 4S is AirDrop. With Bump, you are limited to the size video that you can send. It wouldn't allow you over a certain size.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say anything here if there's a size restriction with video, because I took video with one device and it was 1080p. Tried to be able to put it onto another device that didn't do 1080p, and I was running into roadblocks all the time. So hopefully this will fix that, because I always need to be able to transfer videos or do some other stuff. That would be perfect. So I think I like this.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. So that's all. That's basically all I could find. That's related to us. So, final thoughts. What are you guys most excited about? You know, things you want to add, things that you're disappointed in. Why don't we start with you, Joe?
Okay, in a year and a half, I'm looking forward to working with 120 frames per second. and AirDrop and some of these other things. I think it's really good. This isn't some mediocre upgrade from the 5. This was a large step that they took with the 5S.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty significant leap. How about you? How about you? You, Joe, you're the editor. How about you, Matt?
Well, I'm most excited for iOS 7. However, the 5S does have a lot of cool new features. I suppose I'm pretty psyched about the new processor and the 64-bit. I just like when things are fast. And as far as the camera goes, I guess I am pretty excited about a bigger sensor and bigger pixels, because I don't know, for whatever reason, I seem to take a lot of grainy pictures with my iPhone 5 right now. So if I could get a little bit better pictures, that would be right up my alley.
I've been having the same problem, but I wonder how much of it is just contamination on the sensor or the lens.
Or light.
It's possible, but here, one of the things I noticed with my iPhone 4 back in the day, I remember I had a lot of problems with it. My button wasn't working well, and I had it fixed at a local place in Boston. They were able to replace the button, and the one thing I noticed was that a lot of dust and junk was in my phone. Like, just lint from my pockets, just crap. So, something that looks airtight, like the iPhone, just still lends itself to getting a lot of, stuff inside. So I wonder if that's, if that's a cause for the grain.
Yeah, it probably is.
But anyway, we'll see. Anyway, very exciting stuff. Can't wait to get this thing. I want this in my hands. I want to play with it. I want it to be the best band in my wedding. So there we go. But I'm already married, so that's not going to happen. So anyway, let's wrap things up. It was a pretty exciting day. If you want to share your thoughts on the keynote, if we missed something, if we got long-winded, we apologize. I apologize. I'm the one who's long-winded. Send us a message. Go to tinyshutter.com. Send us an email. Leave us a comment in the page. Take it from there. And if you want to share your photos on Instagram, all you need to do is add hashtag tinyshutter to your image, and it will be placed in the thousands and thousands of photos that we have already there. And except for today, every week we will pick the best ones and display them for all to see, give you credit, and praise you for your photographic prowess. So go for it, do that. You can also find us on Twitter, on Facebook. We are at Tiny Shutter, and that's it. Let's wrap things up. Joe, where can I find you on this awesome web?
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
Awesome. And how about you, Matt?
You can check me out on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, on twitter.com/mostlymarcus. You can also find me on casualphotography.net, and I have links to all the other social groups from there. So anyway, thank you for listening to our post coverage of the keynote. It's been an exciting day for us. Go to tinyshutter.com and check out my first impressions right after the keynote. That was my first impressions. Of course, more things came in after I was able to actually watch it later in the afternoon. So listening to us and reading that was cool. So thank you. That's all for this week. Next, we will go back to our regularly scheduled program of tips, tricks, and some cool photos that Matt did in the nature world. So there you go. Anyway, that's all for this week. Take care, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.